You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Something happening here, what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong.
Good Wednesday morning to you.
Are getting so much resistance from behind. I think time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Mike McNamara for Wednesday edition of Ball Marine Radio. It's official. I have completed every home project that I could conceive of. Yeah, yesterday afternoon. Made new flagpoles. Those are up. Yeah. Metal flagpoles, spray painted white. Wooden balls at the top of the pole, spray painted gold. It looks awesome, man. I'm not gonna lie to you. It looks awesome. Yeah. And then the landscaping in front of my house to include lighting, right? Dusk to dawn lighting. Unbelievable. My neighbor Rick, Crazy Rick, who lives next door, the Vietnam pilot, A4 guy. He was so excited. He's standing in the middle of the street last night at about 9:45 looking at my house. I walk in the garage and I hear somebody yell at me, "Hey!" I'm like, "What the fuck?" I'm like, I look, he's standing in the middle of the street. I'm like, "What are you doing, man? You're going to get hit by a car." Right? Another crazy Vietnam veteran. And he goes, "I'll get out of the way." And so, he goes, "That looks awesome." He goes, "How much those lights cost you?" I said, $11.97 a piece, Home Depot. He's like, but then I have to admit to you, I had to ghettoize, right? I had to ghettoize the lights because, so they're LED lights. You turn the corner, which is about four houses down from mine. And when you turn, you can see too much of the light. So I'm like, how do I make this thing directional? Right? So how do I, so then I'm thinking, I'll make something out of duct tape. Cause if you can't duck it, fuck it. Right? So anyway, I go take a piece of duct tape. I rip it off. I fold it in half, right? Which is the width of the duct tape. Now this duct tape is wide. It's Gorilla duct tape. So it probably 4 inches wide, not the standard, I think 3 inches. So anyway, I take that. Then I take another piece of duct tape and I put it on the end, and then I take that and I tape it to the side of the light, and it curves, right? So it makes the light directional. Yeah, and it fucking worked. It worked. And I laughed my ass off. But yeah, so every project that I could think of is now complete. So this coronavirus shit needs to end because I need something to fucking do and I need to get back on the road and start doing post-traumatic quitting, okay, or I'm going to lose my mind. The Colleen said, "No, you're not. You're just going to create more projects." I said, "Okay, Colleen, nobody asked you, okay, so shut up." So anyway, Jack was under the weather. Number one canine, Jack Russell Terrier. He was not moving very well yesterday, and I was concerned. But this morning, got fired up, came running out for his treat, so I think it was just something that he ate, right? Rolling around in the backyard. I don't know what it could have been, but so happy to report this morning that Jack is moving better today. I want to talk about the New York Times. What the New York Times did by letting their op-ed editor go after they published a piece by a United States senator, and even though much of their readership, you know, would take issue with it, right? I mean, that's the point of the opinion page, I think. So by not standing up for diversity, right, for different opinions, and ultimately freedom of speech, they send a horrible enabling message to social media predators now that roam the internet looking for people to lay the wood to and get fired. Okay? And the New York Times, what's that guy's name? Sulzberger? That fucking coward. Right? He's an industry leader. And he doesn't look at all these people that are bitching to him, listen to him, and say, look, if you're afraid for your physical security now, which obviously some said, right, then I'll provide more. Who said that? Who believes that? Okay, I'll foot the bill. Do you want a personal bodyguard? Will that help you? What can I do to help that? But freedom of speech is a hallmark of what we do in this country. And we're an industry leader. We published an op-ed piece from a United States senator. That's our business. It's what we do. It's what we stand for. Right? It's what we stand for. And if I allow you to bludgeon me into another position, I shirk my responsibility as the owner of this business that is a worldwide leader in what we do. And that's what he did. So what he did was he enabled people that use overwhelm and destroy as a hallmark for things that they don't like. Like that song that I played, right? I mean, I have, for whatever reason, I associate it with the First Amendment, the right to speak out.
There's something happening.
Right, and what I see now is all that kind of shit is like so yesterday. Because if you're not saying the shit we like, then fuck you. And it's just it's a different opinion. So that loser sent a horrible message. But I know this. I mean, I've lived long enough in this country. That message won't win. In the long run, it will ultimately die. It will ultimately eat itself, like all corrupt movements do. Right? This nation is a melting pot. Right? It gets pushed, and when you see people with narrow agendas, they scream people down. Ultimately, they lose, and that's why the truth is important. All right. And so yesterday, I had a couple thoughts going through my head as I'm out crushing the landscaping. Part of my chores. So I was doing landscaping yesterday, and then lighting last night, which is kind of the cherry on top after all the stuff I've done. So anyway, after all the painting and the scraping and all the rest of that nonsense. So, oh yeah, I had to run a chainsaw. I ran a chainsaw and cut down one more tree, and cut down a tree, planted a tree, a bush, kind of more of a tree. That was mixed in there too. Crazy Rick helped me with that. But anyway, so when I'm in my cone of working silence or my cone of cleaning silence, which I love to be in those cones, because it's just me and I control everything, and there it's like happy place for me, cleaning place and like manual labor place. So I had two thoughts go through my head. The first one was, what would Dr. King say if he saw all of this, right? What would Martin Luther King say if he saw this discussion, if he saw the hatred, right? What would he say? So I just want to play 5 minutes and 25 seconds of his I Have a Dream speech, right? As a reminder to everybody.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. Yes. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. Yes. I have a dream that one day, yes, this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Yeah. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Okay? And I'm thinking about that yesterday. I mean, those are Dr. King's words. And you watch the shit that you see on TV. And to me, he would look and go, what are we doing? What are we doing? We can't even have a discussion about these things. And the tactic is to shout them down, get them fired, overwhelm them, because we don't like something that they said. And so to me, right? I mean, the things that I grew up with and the things that I knew were right as a kid, you know, and growing up and watching the civil rights movement, right? Growing up and watching, you know, the whole Watergate thing unfold was justice and respect, right? And then as I got to go around the world, I realized how unique of a country the United States is. That even us with all of our warts we're so much further down the road than most nations are. And it's not even close. I mean, I tell that to my daughters. And when I go speak, I said, you know, look, do you guys know how lucky you are to be Americans? And they look at me. I said, first of all the girls in here, all the women in here, you wouldn't be in this room in about 40% of the world. You wouldn't be allowed in this room. And so when somebody tells you that you can't be what you want to be in this country, you tell them to stick it up their ass because they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But, you know, so what I learned was, you know, justice and respect. And what I see is not that. And to me, the actions of the New York Times, horrible, horrible. And that speech was about fighting tyranny. And now you're watching it, you know, in my opinion, a resurgence of it. What you're seeing is intolerance for the discussion. Now, you may not like Senator Cotton's perspective or point of view, but when somebody in an articulate way presents their argument, just because you don't agree with it, out of many, one, right? What, only there's only one voice in the choir now? And we're not a big enough country to have that discussion? I just, I, I'm watching this, and I shake my head. And what we're seeing, the weapons now, are you weaponize social media, right? You create a following so that you can sick them on people, right? And then you take inflammatory audio and video, make sure you edit it appropriately so you don't see the broader issues of something. And you tell that, and that's the story you tell. And that's the video that you hope goes viral, because that's what gets you over the top. It isn't about the truth. It isn't about the broader issues. It's about your limited agenda and your ability to weaponize social media, to use it as a weapon to bludgeon people, just like Senator McCarthy did. Intolerance, tyranny, and that's what you're seeing. And so the other thought that went through my head yesterday was, if Black Lives Matter, then what? Right, that dream that Dr. King talks about. Okay, if Black Lives Matter, then what now? And that leads us to problem solving, as Will Constantini would tell me. Right? What problem are we solving? Well, if you look at data, the problem we're solving, the problem that's sucking the air out of the room, is a problem that affects a very, very, very small number of people. As I said, if you've listened to the program over the course of the last few weeks, if you go through the data, and I've gone through both 2018, 2019, I'll get to 2017 here now that I have some more free time. I'll go through and I'll look up every one of those incidences so I can footnote it for myself, so I can speak, you know, with authority. When I say less than five, actually it's like one or two in 2018, in 2019, and one or two in 2019 at the hands of the police around the country, innocent people were killed. That's what we're talking about. All right, so if Black Lives Matter, we're going to devote that kind of this discussion to that. It seems a bit much once you tell the whole story. Okay, now I want to read some statistics to you. And I saw these in a piece written in the Wall Street Journal, written by a woman by the name of Heather McDonald. She wrote a book called... She's a fellow at the Manhattan Institute and the author of The War on Cops. But what interests me is the statistics that she has in here, right? And she says this: the charge of systemic police bias was wrong during the Obama years, and it remains so today. However sickening the video of Floyd's arrest is, it isn't representative of the 375 million annual contacts that police officers have with civilians. A solid body of evidence finds no structural bias in the criminal justice system with regards to arrest, prosecution, or sentencing. Crime and suspect behavior. Okay, now listen to this. Crime and suspect behavior, not race, determine most police actions. Now, I have this to say about that. That's exactly the conclusion that you would draw if you go through the police reports, the newspaper accounts in 2018 and 2019. She goes on. In 2019, police officers fatally shot 1,004 people, most of whom were armed and otherwise dangerous. African Americans were about a quarter of those killed by cops last year, 235, a ratio that has remained stable since 2015. That share of black victims is less than what the black crime rate would predict, since police shootings are a function, and this stuff is important, how often officers encounter armed and violent suspects. Okay, so you're gonna cross-reference two databases. One is the number of incidents where police officers cross paths with people that are armed and dangerous with intent to do harm. All right. And you're going to take that and you're going to cross index that as a predictor of who should be shot the most and where you're going to find that data. Except there's a contradiction here. In 2018, the latest year for which such data has been published, African Americans were made up 53% of known homicide offenders in the United States and commit 60% of the robberies, though they are 13% of the population. Which means what? All right, they are more likely to cross the paths of police officers, right, in a threatening situation. Okay. She goes on. The police fatally shot 9 unarmed blacks and 19 unarmed whites in 2019, according to a Washington Post database. Those numbers are down from 38 and 32, respectively, in 2015. The Post defines unarmed broadly to include such cases as a suspect in Newark, New Jersey, who had a loaded gun in his car during a police chase. I would even go beyond that. They don't count trying to run a police officer over with your car as being armed. That guy's unarmed. Okay. In 2018, there were 7,407 black homicide victims. Okay, let me say that again. So when we're talking about what problems that we're going to solve, okay, and if black lives matter, 7,407 black homicides in the United States. A police officer is 18 and a half times more likely to be killed by a black male than an unarmed black male is to be killed by a police officer. Now, these are just the numbers. And then she talks about this past Memorial Day in Chicago, which was, I mean, incredible. Police shootings are not the reason the blacks die of homicide at 8 times the rate of whites and Hispanics combined that criminal violence is. Think about that. Black people in this country die at a homicide rate of 8 times that of whites and Hispanics combined. 7,407. The latest series of studies undercutting the claim of systemic police bias was published in August of 2019 in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Researchers found that the more frequently officers encountered violent suspects from any given racial group, the greater the chance that a member of that group will be fatally shot by police officers. Okay, so I mean, stands to reason. The more often we encounter violent people, the more likely it is that one of them is going to get shot. There is no significant evidence of anti-black disparity in the likelihood of being fatally shot by police, they concluded. A 2015 Justice Department, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, right, analysis of the Philadelphia Police Department found that white officers were less likely than black or Hispanic officers to shoot an unarmed black suspect. Research by Harvard economist Roland G. Fryer also found no evidence of racial discrimination in shootings. Any evidence to the contrary fails to take into account crime rates and civilian behavior before and during interactions with police. And again, that's exactly what you see when you go through these stories. Now, let me tell you this, which brings me, well, let me give you some more statistics, all right, if black lives matter. Okay. I gave these yesterday. 48% of non-Hispanic black women, according to a Congressional Black Caucus Foundation paper, are pregnant before they're 20. 97% are unmarried. Less than 23% of the fathers will be involved in those children's lives. 25% of those women who get pregnant before the age of 20 will get pregnant again in less than 24 months. So the question is, when you look at all this, what keeps us stuck, right, in what's going on in Chicago? What keeps us stuck in there? What are the things that entrench us there? And I have to tell you that although it's horrible, and although Mr. Floyd's murder by former officer Chauvin is horrific, right? The problems that keep us here in this stuck for the black community are so much bigger than the problem that's sucking all the air out of the room. Somebody sent me an email yesterday. Mac, you know, why don't more cultures follow the Asian culture? What do? They come here, they get educated, they stick together as a family, and then they prosper. And the story in my mind is the story of the guy who's now he's Vietnamese. His father was the number two guy, the assistant commandant of the Vietnamese Marine Corps. They get whisked out of Saigon. You know, the last night it's open for business. They go to a refugee camp. They move to Los Angeles. The father, the number two guy in the Marine Corps in Vietnam, in South Vietnam when it falls, takes a job as a security guard in Los Angeles. The mother goes to work at a fast food place. He has, I think, eight sisters. They all go to work. Within 3 years, they buy their own home. They all go to college. They all get advanced degrees. He's now a major general in the Marine Corps, in the United States Army, head of U.S. Force, U.S. Army forces in Japan. There's a path there. You know, I talk about paths in post-traumatic winning. There's a path there that leads to success. But again, I mean, without some self-discipline, without education, how do you do that? And so how do we change that? We failed. We failed. I heard somebody talk about $21 trillion at social programs since the 60s. $21 trillion. And we're still, parts of our country are still stuck. Are still struck there. Which brings me to my next point. The greatest American problem, and I've said it on this program before, is leadership. We have weak leaders. And you're watching it. You were watching it a little bit ago. Jerry Nadler. Is chairing a hearing. And he gave one side of the story, which is the number of blacks that are shot by police officers. He didn't tell the other half of the story. So he's not interested in the truth. He's just going to stand up there and play fucking political games. That's not what a leader does. Right? Leaders rise to the moment. He's a clown. And most of the people you're going to see up there are going to be clowning, right, for popular support. They're going to do tricks for the circus. It's a joke. It's a joke. Leaders in this country, and again, to Donald Trump, if Donald Trump is the best that this country has to offer, God help us. The last thing, General Kelly just said, we have to spend more time thinking about who we vote for. Oh, really, General? What was our fucking choice, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump? Are you shitting me? What kind of system gives us that shit? So to me, John Kelly missed the mark there. We have to look at the way we do elections. We have to look at the way we do campaign finance, and we have to figure out a way to raise the quality of candidate that runs. To make it easy for better people to run. What does that mean? It means you can't buy the public office. It means name recognition and the ability to raise money, right, has to be minimized. Or else we'll continue to get rich people with name recognition running for office. That's really worked out well, hasn't it? And now, in the upcoming election, we're going to have a choice between two old white dudes. Last election we had, the choice between two old white people. And I would say two peas of the same pod. Both couldn't tell you the truth if their life depended on it. Hillary Clinton, no way. Donald Trump, no way. That's as best we can do. And the system that gives us that rewards name recognition and the ability to raise money. That's what it rewards. And this leadership crisis, right, to take back to my original thought, when you combine that leadership crisis with guys like Sulzberger, who shrinks in a moment where he should have stood up to all of his staffers and said, if you are genuinely troubled by that op-ed, and you are that bothered that you think your life's at risk, tell me, and I'll assign you security for however long you want. Okay? But this is the New York Times. Our op-ed page has to include dissenting opinions. It has to. Or else we're screaming in the echo chamber. And that is not what an industry leader does. But he shrank. He shrank. And now we have Jerry Nadler on TV. And then we have Joe Biden on TV. Joe Biden, been in government for 50 years. He's going to fix this, right? Wrong. Donald Trump going to fix it. Wrong. So I don't know that I have an answer. Although I know that yesterday I had Martin Luther King's, you know, content of their character thing in my ears. And I'm watching the intolerance that I see to even have the discussion. And if you watch what goes on TV today, all you will see is that shit, you know, is more oxygen pumped in for that fire. That's what you're going to see. And now the police are in the crosshairs of it. The police are in the crosshairs of it. Okay, not these other major issues. Not the 7,400 murders of black people in this country. The vast majority, everybody knows, right, are committed by other black people. How do we put an end to that? What stops that? Education? Birth control? What stops structural poverty? Especially in the case of black America. 50 years after the Civil Rights Act has been passed. 56 years, I think, actually. Right? We're still dealing with this shit. And so the Democratic Party doesn't have the answer. And if you're black, if you follow them, this shit will continue. Because ultimately, I do believe, relative to that email, the answer lies in the qualities of the Asian community. What are they? Discipline, family, hard work. If you think you're going to get there any other way, you're fucking lying to yourself. Because if you don't embrace those values, you won't be successful. And somebody can give it to you. But you can't stay there. Guess why? Because you don't have the qualities of hard work, self-discipline to stay there. So you're not going to be successful. So I'm watching this shit that's going on in this country. And honestly, I can't believe it. I can't believe that free speech, diversity, right, doesn't, people don't fight for that. And what you're seeing is the tyranny of social media. We don't like what you say, and we're going to do something about it. We're going to get your ass fired. So anyway, good morning to you. Jim Smith. Smitty is a cop, a friend of mine. And he's going to come on today. And that's not his real name, but we'll call him Smitty. To protect his identity. And we're going to talk about some of this stuff. I served with him years ago in Quantico. And we're going to get his thoughts on what he's seen and that kind of stuff. So he'll join us in about 30 minutes. We'll check the news. I'll keep you updated. Minneapolis police chief is holding a press conference right now. And we'll see what changes, you know, again, that the police make around the country. But again, know this, and I would challenge you, if you're inflamed about it, sit down and confront the truth and then figure out what problem do you want to solve. Because the problem that you really want to solve is the problem of black men, when they meet the police, resisting and then something bad happening because of that. That's the problem you got to solve. That's the message that you got to send. Hey, look, if you think they're fucking with you, take that up at a different time and place. Know this, that the numbers of young black men that they deal with is high. And the numbers they deal with in terms of young black men in violent situations is high. Know these statistics. Nobody's making them up. They're just facts. 50%+ of murders and charged murders in this country are charged to black people. We're 13% of the population. 60% of the armed robberies charged to black people. We're 13% of the population. So please, with good reason. Those are just the facts. So when you come in contact with them, cooperate with them. There hasn't been one story that I've read in reading about 2019 that says this. Pulled over, stopped, cooperated, put his hands up, and they shot him. Not one story said that. So these problems, in my opinion, are solvable. The bigger problem, 7,400 murders in 2018. Man, right? The rate of pregnancy and what that leads to. I saw something last night that said there was more abortions than births of black children in New York City. So, again, you have to be devoted to truth. You have to listen, right? Those are hallmarks of what our culture is. You have to believe in justice and you have to believe in respect. Those are quintessentially American things. And so I don't, I'm watching this stuff and I can't tell you, you know, how much it bothers me. Because it's not the country that, and this crazy internet shit, you know, is horrible. It's horrible. So anyway, good morning to you. United States Marine Corps Band makes this, Wednesday? What makes this Wednesday morning official? Colleen's out of school. She's moderately fired up about that. Going to be a senior in high school. Yikes. Good morning to you. Interesting email here, and so I'll read it real quick. Mac, I've got a thought relative to police unions. I'm not sure what the composition of most of those boards is, but I think they split between people that are sympathetic to the police force side of it and people not sympathetic. Who cast the swing vote? In my opinion, it ought to be the chief of police. Ultimately, they decide if that person stays or if that person goes. And if they keep people that should go, then we should fire their asses too. Ultimately, they should have the ultimate say in these kind of disciplinary events. It's what they do. It's their department. They should have that vote. They should be held acutely responsible. You know, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. That's a second good idea. The GI Bill for cops. And then number two is the chief votes. You're responsible. So, you know, let me just tell you, I mean, this is dedicated to the hope that as we look at race in America, that more people hear Martin Luther King's words, "I have a dream that someday my children will be judged by the content of their character than the color of their skin." That more people need to think about that and then think, am I doing enough? Right? Now that I don't have, you know, I have a daughter that's a senior in high school. I mean, could I be a big brother? Am I too old to do that? I mused about that the other day. Could I do it for some kid who lives in the inner city? Be a mentor to him? Could I do that? Am I doing enough, right, to help make this shit real? And I think as veterans, as leaders, we have a bias to serve, and we have a duty to serve. And so, is that enough? Are you doing enough? Am I doing enough? So, again, this is dedicated to the proposition of that we're all judged by the content of our character and not some broad brush bullshit that somebody's screaming at you, right, who exists in the long shadow of Senator McCarthy and the hysteria of screaming. So it's dedicated with that proposition in mind.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. So, young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right. Currently in Quantico, it's hot. Mostly sunny and 85 degrees. Down the coast, clouds and 81 at Camp Lejeune. 29 Palms, sunny and 81. Camp Pendleton, sunny and 79. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dawn breaking, cloudy and 72. Camp Butler in Okinawa, dark cloudy and 81. In South Central Afghanistan, evening, clear and 91. And then in Ramadi, in the western part of Iraq, it is 106 and sunny. There you have it. And it's a dry 106, though. Mm-hmm. Currently, in the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is partly sunny. I would say mostly sunny and 75. Looking for a high of 86 today, 81 tomorrow, 73 on Friday, 74 on Saturday, 78 on Sunday. So yesterday, into the 90s, it was hot. Yeah. 86 degrees, winds out of the southwest at 10. That's a good thing. Winds were coming out of the east, which means out of the desert. Yeah, no bueno. It's called the Santa Anas out here. Yeah. So anyway, that is a look at your weather. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We will check the news for the day. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. And let me tell you, I think we have a special duty as veterans to educate our kids, to participate in discussions with their friends, right? And to, you know, to speak the truth and to extol the virtues of justice and respect and freedom of speech. And you hope that speech is articulate and responsible. And that's how you advance agendas. That's how you advance issues. That's how you have a genuine conversation. I'm struggling. I'm not seeing that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? Give you anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on your own? I wonder where you are and live with all your faults. I wanna wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all. So why don't you smile?
Top headline in Stars and Stripes this morning, Air Force orders review of discipline and opportunities for black airmen. Related headline, Air Force fails to deal with racial disparities in military justice, report says. Top Air Force officials announced Tuesday they had ordered independent reviews of the Air Force's record on both military discipline and opportunities for black airmen in response to sustained national protest over race. The review to be conducted by the Air Force Inspector General will assess and capture existing racial disparities, assess Air Force-specific causal factors like culture and policies, assimilate the analysis and conclusions of previous racial disparity studies by external organizations and make concrete recommendations resulting in impactful and lasting change. The service vowed in the news release that the full results of both reviews, good and bad, will be made fully public. The reviews were ordered by Air Force Secretary Barbara Barrett, Chief of Staff General Dave Goldfein, and Chief of Space Operations General Jay Raymond. So, yeah, the Air Force, right? You would think the most enlightened. Now, I haven't seen reviews of the other services, so I'm not sure they can breathe easy either. In a story that I hadn't seen anywhere else except Stars and Stripes, this is the Associated Press, actually, in Stars and Stripes, investigators say Louisville National Guard, it'd be the Kentucky National Guard, fatally shot a man on one of the nights of protest in Louisville, Kentucky. A Louisville barbecue cook was fatally shot by a National Guard member after the cook fired his gun as law enforcement approached on a night of the protest. David McAtee was killed on May 31st while he was cooking at his eatery miles away from the downtown demonstrations. J. Michael Brown, Secretary of the State's Executive Cabinet, said Tuesday that Kentucky State Police investigators examined shrapnel from McAtee's body and matched it to rifles carried by National Guard members. So it's clear the fatal shot came from the National Guard. We have no doubt about that. Officers were seen on a video distributed by Louisville Metro Police shooting pepper balls in the area where McAtee was cooking outdoors, but Brown said he believes McAtee fired the first live round. I believe Mr. McAtee fired the first shot, paused, and then fired another shot, Brown said. McAtee was hit once in the chest and died at the scene. National Guard members were returning fire, which was part of the engagement of what law enforcement would do in that case, Brown said. Brown said investigators recovered two shell casings from McAtee's handgun and found gunshot residue on his body. You know what? And this is the shit that bothers me about the media. The headline, investigators say National Guard fatally shot a man on night of Louisville protest. What does that imply to you? That the Louisville National Guard, you know, murdered somebody. Although that's not what the headline technically says, right? It's called clickbait. Next headline, U.S. wants to house missiles in the Pacific. Some allies don't want them. So everybody loves to live under the umbrella. You know, Germany was in the news yesterday. I find that story laughable. Germany talks about, right, you know, it may destabilize NATO if, you know, America withdraws forces from Germany. The single most destabilizing influence in NATO is Germany. And why should the American taxpayer be more interested in Germany's freedom than Germany is? So, go away. The governor of a Japanese territory where the Pentagon is thinking about basing missiles capable of threatening China has a message for the United States, not on my island. I firmly oppose the idea, says Governor Denny Tamaki. He is the governor of Okinawa. In an email to the Los Angeles Times. Well, governors don't control foreign policy. Officials in other Asian countries are also signaling they don't want missiles that can range China. Right, because what's China going to do? China's going to threaten them. But Pentagon planners aren't backing down after the Trump administration withdrew from a 33-year-old arms control treaty that barred U.S. land-based intermediate-range missiles in Asia, right? And the reason they did that is so we can create a new one with Beijing, because Beijing has missiles that threaten everybody. Australia and the Philippines publicly ruled out hosting American missiles when the Trump administration first floated the idea last year. South Korea is also considered an unlikely location. So were your allies, kind of, sort of. Right? And again, all that has to do with economic relationships with China. That's why, you know, in my opinion, the president's single greatest failing is the failure to develop economic relationships with other nations across the Pacific, right, that would stand in place of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Got to do that. If you're more fully economically engaged in the Pacific, then guess what? Those doors will open because they know who their friend is. And know this, the free world, the major nations of the free world have four times the GDP that China does. At some point, somebody needs to weaponize that. Hey, come do business with us. We can open doors for you. Okay? And we want to. Air Force General Charles Brown becomes the first African-American service chief. Brown, known as CQ, is now the commander of U.S. Forces Pacific. I was supposed to go out, and they were going to have a party for a reception at their house, for God's sakes. This COVID-19 shit, man, screwed me up. Colin Powell became chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, but he was not chief of staff of the Army. President Donald Trump praised Brown's confirmation ahead of the vote in a tweet, saying, "A historic day for America, excited to work even more closely with General Brown, who is a patriot and a great leader." So there you have it. Yes, I'm hopefully get a chance to meet him at some point. I met his wife on a number of occasions. She's a huge fan of post-traumatic winning. And no, I met her in Colorado Springs. I had done post-traumatic winning at the Pentagon. Ellen Dunford had brought me there. And General Goldfein's wife, her name's Dawn. When I did it at the Pentagon, I've told the story before, but she was out of her seat like a rocket. She said, "You are going to come and do this for me, and you're going to get involved in the Air Force." I said, "Yes, ma'am. I'd be happy to." And so I have. So I do it in Colorado Springs. And Mrs. Brown, actually, you know, the class is like, you know, 2.5-3 hours long. And they gave me 1 hour and 40 minutes. So they had talked before. And so I get introduced, and I said, "Okay, I've got 1 hour and 40 minutes, so don't anybody think about asking a question." And Mrs. Brown, her name is Shireen, she starts laughing, and I said, "Yeah, and I'm for you over there, I'm talking to you, okay?" So then I think we took a break. She came up to me, she started, and she goes, "Who are you?" And, you know, so, but I'm supposed to go to Hawaii 3 different times, and this COVID thing, man, screwing me up. New study of the USS Theodore Roosevelt sailors reveals how coronavirus affects young, healthy adults. I told you the Roosevelt thing is going to be very, very interesting to watch and what comes out of there. The study indicates the potential for some immunity to the disease based on antibodies found in the blood of positive cases. The crew, 4,800, infected ultimately 1,273 members of the crew. The study asked for 1,000 volunteers to provide blood and swab samples and answer a survey. Only 382 Roosevelt sailors participated in it. The volunteers were not a representative sample of the crew population. The study included a serology test, which looks for antibodies in the blood left in the body after it fought off the virus. The test is used to determine who has been infected, especially if they had few symptoms, according to the CDC. The study found 60% of the volunteers had antibodies from the coronavirus, and of those, 59% also had neutralizing antibodies at the time their blood was drawn. The finding may give us an early glimpse into the actual immune protection against COVID-19 in young adults having these intense viral exposures aboard a ship. They are actually important in that they could be indicators of some degree of immunity, but we don't necessarily know how long because this was a time-constrained investigation. So, interesting. You could check that out. My favorite website, Just the News, headline, top of the fold, Congressional Republicans plan a wave of new criminal referrals in the Russia probe. Again, my own opinion is, you know, there's been a number of other things, the COVID-19 and story, and now, obviously, the events surrounding the death, the murder of Mr. Floyd. And, but I will tell you this, what happened before and after the last election, in my opinion, is a huge, huge story. Is a huge, huge story. And I think so it's not like, you know, and what you hear is people saying, oh, why are we wasting time on this when we have so many big things to do? Well, COVID busted out and the Democrats were in the middle of impeachment. And they found time to do it. So anyway, that's in the news. USNI, there's their lead story. USNI News is CDC, Navy, COVID-19 study on Theodore Roosevelt finds 1 in 5 were symptomatic. A loss of taste and smell were the most common symptoms of having it. So there you have it. That's in the news. And then top 5 stories in Early Bird. Marine Corps Times, nothing new. The Confederate flag stuff. The Navy may adopt that. Yeah, that's in the news. They're crafting the language surrounding their outlawing public displays. You can still have it in your room. Nobody can go look in your shit. Because again, there's a First Amendment in this country. People might want to outlaw it from NASCAR and sing. But the uncomfortable truth is, if you, as an American, you're not screaming, right, fire in a crowded theater. And as much as people might say, oh, that's wrong, you know, and all the rest of it, you have a First Amendment right in this country. And that right doesn't get suspended when you join the military. It gets, there are certain limitations to it. So anyway, top 5 stories in Early Bird. And then Smitty going to join us. Yeah. And we're going to talk cop stuff. One. Senate confirms new Air Force Chief of Staff in historic unanimous vote. Unanimous vote. Wow. Number 2, CNO says no more Confederate battle flags in public spaces and work areas. Number 3, Trump wanted to fire Esper over the troop dispute. You think? I wonder who talked him off the ledge on that one. And why? Hey, we're not going to, it's going to make us look like we're in more disarray. We'll keep Esper, he's harmless, yada, yada, yada. You were over your skis. What? What do you mean I was over my skis? Yeah, 10,000 troops, not really appropriate, sir. Number 4, CDC study. Lower COVID-19 infection rate for TR sailors who wore face coverings and social distance. How about that? So that's a study, that's an article out of Navy Times. Number 5, beam them up. More than 8,500 airmen asked to join the Space Force. They're volunteering to join the Space Force. Overseas operation. Amid tensions with the United States, Iran builds fake aircraft carrier to attack. Next headline, Chinese warplanes enter the Taiwan Strait after a U.S. flyover. So we're doing parades over the South China Sea and the Taiwan Strait. Factional struggles emerge in virus-afflicted Taliban top ranks. Yeah. The Afghan government fears that internal clashes within the militant group will leave it without a reliable peace partner. Yeah, Taliban getting jacked up by the coronavirus. A couple other stories. Watchdog, more work to do to improve military housing. You think? Again, you can't withhold rent. They didn't deal with the problem of filing grievances. And you can't look at the history of the house you're moving into. Like, are you shitting me? You think there's more work to do there? Right. Okay. We'll take a break here. All right. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.